Hey, welcome to the Ask LFC podcast. My name is Harrison. I am the worship arts director here at Lake Forest Church Huntersville.
And I am Scott Mattson. I am the new pastor of discipleship here at Lake Forest Church in Huntersville.
Scott, good to have you on the podcast, man. Welcome. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you, my friend. It is great to be here looking out the tinted window onto Gilead Road. And it is a beautiful sunny afternoon here in Huntersville.
It is a beautiful day also to be inside. Because it's really cold.
It's, yeah, seriously. I think my iPhone said the high today is like 33 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm not super digging that. Hey, it's good to have you guys here. We're actually going to preview just for a second. We're going to talk today about a question that one of you guys sent in, which you took Mike and I up last week on. Again, we have an email address that is very active and goes right to us that we check, asklfc@lakeforest.org. And love to get questions from you who listen to this, and it makes for a really fun episode. So we're going to do that today. A couple of quick things first. Number one, the real Lake Forest specific thing that I want to just point your attention to, we are really, really emphasizing right now. Scott, it's the beginning of the year. We're kicking off January. Yeah. It's the time that new rhythms and new life patterns are starting. And for us here at Lake Forest, all of our metaphorical eggs right now are going in the basket of group life. Yeah. Scott, why is group life an important thing here at Lake Forest for somebody to think about getting involved in?
Yeah, thanks, man. So, yeah, group life, community groups, men's studies, women's studies, all of those kind of things. Essentially anything in the Christian life that involves other people, which is pretty much everything.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
So it encompasses a lot. You know, there's a lot of things about why it's important, but I think probably the main thing is that, you know, God called us as Christians to be his family, which means in Christ, we are brothers and sisters because we're followers of Jesus. And so, you know, none of us is called to do the Christian life alone. We are called to belong to the church and called to belong to a local church and to do life with those people that God has placed us with.
That's right. And so we have a ton of opportunities for that. We're not going to get into it a ton right now, but the main things that are really launching right now are, you're not going to be able to get to it by the time you're listening to it, but we're kicking off a new stretch of men's ministry. We have some Forge Bible studies that are starting, an opportunity to get connected with guys. Our Oasis women's studies are coming up here very soon. Those are two really easy opportunities to get connected and get plugged in.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. So the Forge studies, we've got six of them launching here in the next couple weeks.
Nice.
More Oasis studies. Cammie's killing it. Women's ministry. This is probably not going to happen, but if you happen to hear this before 7 p.m. today, Thursday, Eastern time, come down to Lake Forest Church Huntersville. Join us for our Low Country Boil.
Low Country Boil. Scott, have you done a Low Country Boil before? Is it?
Dude, I never even heard of a Low Country Boil till like 3 weeks ago. And here's the thing, confession time, and I don't think I can get fired from my job for this. I actually don't like shrimp at all.
I'm with you there.
Yeah. So my Low Country Boil will be sausage, corn, and potatoes.
Mm.
I did promise my wife I would try one shrimp boiled because I've never done this before.
Okay.
So I am going to go for it. And you know what? I'm probably going to like it.
Well, welcome. That's a good transition as a welcome to the Carolinas for you.
Thanks.
And it's funny, man, because it's not my favorite thing either. I grew up in South Florida. You think I would love seafood. Both of my middle school and high school age boys like beg. It's like the treat of all time for them to get like a seafood boil, and they open it up on the table. I'm like, dude, it's not for me. That's fine. But Scott, before I get to the question, just, I'm glad that you are here on the podcast to answer this question today, because I wanted to hang with you on this forum anyways and just get a chance to ask you a couple questions about, as you said, you are, newer getting started here. And you know, can you tell me a little bit, first of all, just about you, your family, where you're from originally, and a little bit of how you have found yourself across the country eating Low Country Boils?
Yes, sir. Love it. Yeah. So I'm a Pacific Northwesterner by birth, and that's where I've spent most of my life. And so my wife and I, we have two young kids, and we really felt the call of God to pack up and to go somewhere. We weren't sure where. We just knew that the Holy Spirit was leading us into a new season. And so for us, following Jesus, Discipleship looked like obeying that call. And so we began praying, and we were out here in Charlotte in May for the very first time ever. Neither of us had ever been to the Carolinas before. And we were here for the first time in May. My wife was doing her residency for her doctoral program at Gordon-Conwell Seminary. And, you know, we were praying and talking and thinking, and then she happened to see that Lake Forest had an opening for a pastor of discipleship. And if you probably haven't, most of you listening, because you don't know me yet. But if you'd spent any time around me the last couple years in Oregon, you would know that discipleship and disciple making has kind of become like the one string that I play on my guitar, or like the one drumstick. That's more appropriate as
that's
a drummer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I saw, you know, pastor of discipleship, and I looked through the position, I'm like, man, this is amazing. It really kind of lit my fire. And so I applied, and the rest is history. And here we are. So it was really cool for us, you know, to get to come out here and do something new.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So why is discipleship the one note that you like to play? What is it about that just you're like, man, if I'm made to do something, this is the thing that it just feels like I'm made to do?
Yeah, because, you know, discipleship and disciple making is the core mission of the church. It's why the church exists. And so everything that the church does, if we're doing it right, then needs to have discipleship and disciple making as that sort of central focus. You know, because, you know, Matthew 28, when Jesus, after the resurrection, before he went back to the Father's right hand, the final command that he gave to his followers was make disciples. You know, go make disciples. You know, the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And so the command there is to make disciples. And, you know, when we focus on being disciples, which means obedient followers of Jesus, and then we turn around and we look behind us and see, hey, who's following me? You know, and I need to be helping them to also become spiritually mature followers of Jesus. And that's how the church grew. That's how the church grows. You know, and that's how the gospel spreads around the world, is through these networks of people just living the life as a follower of Jesus.
That's awesome. It's been cool already. You know, this is the stuff that, you know, it makes its way throughout the church, but you guys don't get to see how it happens. But some of my favorite times about being on staff at a church are times like we got to do this week, Scott, with you, or of just getting some of the pastors and ministers of the church together and just doing some deep dive level thinking on, man, how are we providing opportunities for people to grow, to take steps forward, to become better disciples of Jesus here at Lake Forest Church, and just kind of trying to package that in a way that makes sense and that leaves nobody behind. And that kind of stuff is just that's like some of the best hours of the week, is working on stuff like that. It's fun, man.
Totally, man. I know. I dig it. It's so much fun to kind of, you know, sort of whiteboard, you know, and just ideate, put all of our thoughts up on the board, erase, add, edit. It's just fun to do that in collaboration, and knowing that we get to do it, you know, for the sake of God's kingdom. That's, you know, what cooler thing could there be than that?
It's awesome. And one thing I've appreciated so much, about Mike Moses, our lead pastor and podcast co-host extraordinaire over all this time. His main claim to fame, I really think, is being on the Ask LFC podcast.
I mean, like, seriously, if you were Mike Moses, you're like, all the things he's done, like, what more could I know? I am going to be on the podcast with Harrison. That's the pinnacle.
I've reached it from here. So now he's cruising into the station.
I think that's it.
But one of the things that is so awesome about Mike, and when you're a part of, when you're a part of churches for a while, especially on the staff side, there can be a lot of disillusionment that can happen, because a church is, at the end of the day, especially the bigger a church becomes, it is also an organization. It has a structure. It has staff members. It has leaders. It has a mortgage, right? Like, there are things that like have to happen.
Yep.
And one of the ways that sometimes churches become overly obsessed about, and is a bad rap that a lot of mega churches get, is this obsession with how many people are coming. And it's like the numbers. And one thing that I've loved about Mike so much is that, the numbers of people who are coming here are absolutely important to him. But as he says, numbers are important because numbers are people, yes. and every person matters to God.
Right.
Has become his thing. And that's what that reminds me of is like, man, we are so blessed and fortunate to have so many people coming through these doors. And our heart, and Scott, why we're excited that you're here, is to say, man, if we get even just one shot at sharing the gospel with somebody, of getting someone, and the pathways are so different around here. Someone, we have a ton of people who have found Lake Forest Church, not because they even came on a Sunday. Someone invited them to a men's group or they showed up to help on a car repair day or something. And they're like, what is this place? So we know there's so many avenues. We might only get one chance and that one person may be here one time. So that's why all these pathways and discipleship is just, it's so important to us.
Totally. I love it. That's very true. You know, and that's the thing is, man, you know, when you think about, why we do all of this, why are we doing all of this? Right. It can happen. And we've probably all experienced this in our own lives to some degree. You know, a lot of times we mistake activity for progress.
Sure.
You know, it's like, man, look how busy we are. Ah, this is so cool. It's kind of like a treadmill, you know. I'm busy, I'm sweating, I'm doing a lot, but I'm not going anywhere.
Yes.
You know, and churches can do that too, or really any organization, business, whatever it is, that can happen really easily. And so kind of back to what you were saying earlier, Harrison, you know, with discipleship and mission and all of that is like the core focus and mission of the church. If we can keep that in sort of the forefront of our windshield, so to speak, and that's the target we're aiming at, then, you know, hopefully, God willing, all these different things that we're doing are all pulling in that direction, which means, yes, there is a lot of activity, but it's good. It's sanctified activity, and it's leading us to where Jesus wants us to go, you know, and that, I think, that's the special sauce. That's the sweet spot.
It is, and it's carving out that, at the end of the day, it's us creating spaces and carving out room for Christ followers to interact with each other, for people who are are skeptics or spiritual explorers to come in and understand what's going on, and ultimately to just for us to create room for the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And there's nothing we can manufacture to get there. It does not. I tell our band all the time, and I'll tell you, Scott, for the Low Country Boil tonight and for people listening, it'll be awesome and it'll be true, but it's the greatest. It's the greatest thing to realize that these two things are true. Number one, God calls us to do everything with excellence.
Yeah.
And also, at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit is going to do Holy Spirit stuff. So we're just trying to just create some spaces to set some tables and to let him do the work. So the pressure's off of you. It doesn't matter.
Amen. Oh, yeah. I like that. Okay. Yeah.
The pressure's off. So go eat some shrimp and have fun.
Can you tell Josh, our new integrator, who's my boss, that, hey, Harrison said, pressure's off, man.
It doesn't matter.
It's all good. That's what I heard.
I say that especially when I just screwed something up. All right.
When you just realize that my audio isn't recording or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, luckily it is, but I did mess that up at the very beginning. Well, hey, this is in the same vein. Actually, the question that was sent to us, Scott, is this is really a discipleship and spiritual growth question, which I'm excited for. So thank you to Eli who sent this in.
Thank you, Eli.
Here's the question. And then, Scott, we'll get into this a little bit and interact with it. So Eli said, during your last episode on fasting, you mentioned that fasting is one of the many tools on our spiritual tool belt. As a hobbyist woodworker, this analogy resonated well with me and got me curious. What other tools would you say are the main tools that should be carried on our tool belt? So that's the question. It's a good setup. So I'll just stop for a second, Scott, and say where does that question start taking your mind, and what gets you excited about talking about this? Because I knew once I even sent this to you, you're like, oh yes, let's go. So
Oh man, that's great. Well, Eli, thank you, man, for listening, and thank you for sending that question. And that's a great, great question. Yeah, so the tools on our spiritual tool belt. So as you rightly noted, Pastor Mike preached a great sermon about fasting. That's an important one. And so Eli, and for everyone listening, so the tools in our tool belt, these things just historically and traditionally are called spiritual practices or spiritual disciplines. And the only reason I say that is because if I use that language, I want you to know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
But I love the language too of spiritual tools. That's a great way of putting it. And so fasting is definitely one of those. The other one that correlates very, very traditionally and very well with fasting is prayer. So prayer and fasting, and then scripture as well. So Bible reading, Bible study, but also, again, back to discipleship, Bible obedience, right? The point is to learn and obey and become more like Christ. So fasting, prayer, scripture, and then you've got other traditional Christian spiritual disciplines that have been practiced by followers of Jesus all through the church's history. You have things like silence and solitude. And we can get back to some of these more in depth, but, you know, silence and solitude, simplicity, which is especially poignant, I think, for us who live in the West in a very affluent place where I could literally just use my thumbs and like an hour from now I'd have food at the door, you know. So simplicity is a big one. Generosity also to help fight off affluenza, you know, that disease that easily infects us if we're not careful.
Yeah, sure.
Things like that. Sabbath is another really big one. And that's just this idea of taking one day in seven to actually rest, not necessarily just to have a day off, but really to rest and to devote that day to rest, to worship, to refreshment, to that kind of stuff, to really like sort of almost reset your soul from the busyness of modern life. So those are some of the other tools in the tool belt, Eli. And there's a whole bunch of other ones too. But those are kind of like the main ones that followers of Jesus throughout the years have really sought to put into practice. And by practicing those things and making those a priority, you know, we become more and more like Jesus. Which is really, ultimately, that's the whole goal of discipleship, is to be spiritually mature in Christ.
I think another way that the analogy is kind of cool, and want to ask your thoughts on this, Scott, is there's a certain point where Eli is way better, I'm sure, with carpentry and making things out of wood than I am. So if I had the same tool belt that Eli has, and I have not had any practice at all of how to use these things, when the moment comes that I, it's so bad I couldn't even tell you what a tool would be. I don't know, it was like a wood shaver. I don't know. I don't know what Eli uses. Whatever the things are, sure. I would be so unequipped that knowing what they are in that moment, I'm going to look at it and be like, okay, cool. So where does the spiritual practice is actually an interesting way to put it. Where does the practice part come into that in ways that actually help us use them when we need it and when it matters?
It's a great question, man. That's a fantastic question. I'm glad you asked that. For the record, we did not rehearse these questions beforehand.
We did not. It's off the cuff.
This is totally off the cuff, which you can probably tell. But yeah, the great question, Harrison. So what I would say is for people who maybe are believers and who are just kind of like, man, I don't really even know where to start with any of this. What do I do? What does my next step look like? What I would say is start with maybe the two most basic things, and that's prayer and scripture. And so what I would recommend, I've been doing this now for the past 20-ish years. In the morning, before the day gets going, take some time and spend with the Lord, reading scripture and praying. And what I would recommend if this is new to you is start with 10 minutes. Get up, have 10 minutes set aside, no phone, no screen, you know, nothing that's going to distract you. You're not checking your email, anything like that. 10 minutes where you can just be alone with God and you can open up your Bible and you can read and pray. And what I like to recommend to people is that you actually use scripture as the basis for your prayers if you're not really accustomed maybe to spending time in prayer, you know, really spending, because it can be, honestly, it can be kind of awkward and weird when you first start really learning how to pray. It can feel strange. And so a good place to start is the Psalms, and because the Psalms are pretty much prayers anyway, and read through those. And as something jumps out at you, pause and talk to God about it, you know, and then keep reading. And that way you're starting to develop this muscle memory of hearing from God in his word and then talking to him in prayer. And I guarantee what will happen if you devote yourself to that and you make that a daily practice, it's not going to take too long that you're going to want more than 10 minutes. You know, it's kind of like when you know, for me, when I first, you know, met and got to know my wife, Meredith, You know, it's like we would talk, and then it's like, okay, I want to like go out to eat at a restaurant, and like I want to spend hours just talking to you. You know, I really enjoy that. I don't want just a 10-minute quick conversation and like, all right, see you next week. Yep. It's like, no, let's spend time together. And so that's a great place to start, is just prayer and scripture. So I would recommend that for somebody who's kind of new. If you've been walking with the Lord for a while and prayer and scripture are a more regular part of your life, I would recommend fasting. Mm-hmm. And admittedly, I am not good at that. And that's something that I want to work on this year, as Pastor Mike talked about. I would also recommend, because this is difficult in our modern world for a lot of people, myself included, the practice of Sabbath. Hmm. And that's taking a day. you know, if I have young kids, so 24 hours is not super realistic for me because my kids just don't stop. Yep. So, you know, for me, it might be like a few hours. But taking a sanctified period of time in a day or a full day and really sort of shutting down, like I'm going to turn off my phone and put it in my dresser. I'm not going to be checking my email. I'm going to, you know, whatever that looks like for you. Time in scripture and prayer, take a nap, go for a walk. Just slow your soul down a little bit, because we all live at this hyper frenetic pace all the time in our modern society. And so I would say those would be like kind of the four foundational ones that I would recommend people to start with. You know, if you're new to it, or, you know, maybe you want to do something new. And then there's, again, there's like the bigger practices that encompass more of your life, things like generosity and simplicity, silence and solitude, those kinds of things, you know?
I think also, not overstretching the analogy, but in anything, if I was a amateur musician learning how to play, yeah, I think it's also important to note, Scott, and it's why, again, really none of this part of this we're have thought about or rehearsed at all. It's just like obvious parallels, but really, like, if I was a young musician or a young woodworker or new to it, not even young, mm-hmm, and I'm trying to get better at these things, like, a very quick step is going to be wanting to be around other people who are doing this stuff already. Like, if I am a very amateur woodworker, as I would be, like, hang around with a group of people who are farther along at that than me.
Yeah.
And they're going to show me how to use these tools and the ways that they might apply. Like, that's why, to us, why we're going to go back and back and back and back to this idea of living life together, of living life in groups. It's really like, if you go back, the idea of being an individual the way that it is for us, that barely even existed in Jesus culture. Everything is together.
Collective.
You're together all the time. Yep. Families are together. Yep. You're eating together. Yep. You're around all the time. So like, this is designed as a together thing. So my other main encouragement would just be like, we're not just saying doing life with other Christ followers is like a checkbox thing for us of like, that'd be cool if you did it. It's like, it is really essential. And it's the main reason why you, I'm sure, as a pastor, Mike has told me over years, how many times he has conversations with folks who are like, well, you know, I love Jesus, the whole like church thing and the whole like doing like I can be a Christian and follow Jesus without all that stuff. And that there are parts of that are absolutely true at a fundamental level of understanding who Jesus is and being able to experience salvation through that's between you and God. But this part of like growing in these pathways, maybe it's kind of possible, but why would you try when it's so much easier? Like, it's like, it's just cheat codes, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, that's the thing. I mean, none of us is called to follow Jesus alone, you know. And so as you're saying that, you know, things come into my mind are, you know, the spiritual tools in your tool belt that maybe you want to spend more time sharpening and getting better at, can also have to do with your personality. So if you're like super introverted, maybe a spiritual practice you need to dig more deeply into is community.
Yeah.
If you're super extroverted, maybe a practice you need to dig more deeply into is silence and solitude. You know, if there's like an addiction or a sin in your life that has to do with consumption, you know, whether it's, you know, too much food or sugar, or, you know, if you want to quit smoking, or maybe it's something like pornography or something you know, whatever it is, then maybe the discipline of fasting, taking something away, is a good way to combat that, if that makes sense. And so the spiritual disciplines, they work in these ways, you know, that they can really help us to, again, you know, sharpen our focus and really follow Jesus more faithfully and bring our body under submission, as the Apostle Paul talked about in his letters, you know. And to your point too, Harrison, it's great. You know, if I were to go over to Eli's house, you know, and he handed me a bunch of tools, I know what hammers and nails are, and like I know kind of what they are, but like I wouldn't be able to do any woodworking. Like yeah. I can nail something together for you if you need, but I couldn't do any kind of woodworking. But to your point, if I wanted to learn how to do that, I have to be given the basic tools and I have to learn the fundamentals first.
That's right.
And you sort of like almost apprentice yourself to an expert. Well, cool thing about the word disciple, the word disciple, sort of the full orbed way to translate that word actually is apprentice, which the idea is that we are apprentices to King Jesus. And it means that we are learning how to do life the way he did it and to live life the way that he wants us to live life. Hmm. And we do that through spending time and through imitation. Right. And that's what we do. And, you know, to your point about the fundamentals, you know, it's important to always go back to the fundamentals, Bible, prayer, scripture, community.
Yeah.
I mean, even I, you can fact check me. I might have this wrong, but I think I've heard this anecdote that like Steph Curry still shoots 500 free throws every day. Now he's like, I don't know, but he's like one of the probably top five shooters in all time basketball history. I mean, the dude is just a monster. He's amazing.
Yep.
It's so fun watching things on my social media feed that pop up, where, you know, he like throws up these just ridiculous half court shots and he just like, how do you do that, man?
Yep.
And every day, if I have this fact right, he still gets up and he shoots 500 free throws every single day. The fundamentals.
That's right.
The easiest thing in the world, because all the crazy cool stuff that he does is based on the fundamentals. You know, Harrison, you and I are both musicians. It's the same thing. All the, you know, you can watch like a master musician do like all the cool, flashy, crazy, amazing, awesome stuff, which is fun to watch. But really all that is the fundamentals with a bit more complexity, usually sped up. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is. It's not anything more than that. And it's a lot of it's the same in the way that we walk with Jesus. Yep. You know, it's like, what is it? Well, it's prayer, scripture, you know, community, you know, generosity. It's the things we know.
Yeah.
We just have to do them.
Yeah. You don't become a master and graduate from those things. You're like, well,
yeah, yep.
Mastered the Bible. Yep. Don't need to read it. Yeah. I got it down.
Exactly. Hey, I'm a disciple. Like I did it. I went through the program. I got the certificate. Yeah. Like I'm good. Right.
Check you're mark. Like, yeah. No,
nope. This doesn't end until you get to heaven.
That's right. You know? Yeah. And just like the staff thing and playing music for us, there's a part of this, and also similar to heard this said many times, you know, when you're getting to know the person who's going to be your spouse, like this is just like the bond that you build over time. That's the key word. It's just time spent.
That's
right.
It.
Like it's just day in and day out.
That's
and sometimes there's nothing overly adventurous or glamorous about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like brushing your teeth and you do it because like, this is I know this is good for me and I know this is going to move me in good directions.
Yeah.
So like, I'm just going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like
that's
even in days where maybe it feels more difficult to do. So yeah, as an encouragement, from Scott, I'm going to reemphasize, as a main point, Scott, it's so good. Those tools in the tool belt, it's more about time spent with the simple stuff.
Right.
And just,
that's it.
Yeah. You're not going to get a master's degree in prayer either. Prayer is just conversation with God and getting to know him.
That's right. Yeah. And I'm glad you said that. And Harrison, I want to pick up really just quickly. I know we're running out of time here, but on something you just mentioned, you know, like the whole brushing your teeth analogy, you know, I brush and I floss every day, right? Why do I do it? Because I really enjoy it and it's awesome? No, it's kind of boring, actually. I do it because I need to do it and because I don't want my teeth to rot, right? And oftentimes, conversations I've had with people, And I think, again, this is probably more of just like a function of the culture that we live in here in the West and in the 21st century, is this whole idea of authenticity. Hmm. And I've had conversations with people where, well, if man, like I'm supposed to just, I need to just do this stuff. What if I don't feel like it? You know, and it's like the whole thing about like, well, if I don't feel like it, then it's not really authentic. It's like, throw that idea away. It doesn't matter what you feel. Do these things. Get up in the morning and spend time with the Lord. And here's the thing. You'll grow to love it.
That's right.
Because, you know, they say, and it's true, you know, you cannot feel your way into a new way of acting, but you can act your way into a new way of feeling. You know, so if you,
absolutely,
if there's something that you need to do, whether it's something like of the utmost importance, like the spiritual practices or things that are also important, but maybe lesser importance, like exercise or, you know, brushing your teeth or whatever, don't wait until you, you know, quote unquote, feel like doing it. Just start doing it. And as you're doing it, you'll find like, I really want to do this,
yeah,
you know? and I can speak to that from experience in my walk with the Lord for these many years. Mm. You know, I look, I'm 43. I've been walking with Jesus consistently for about 23 years. And I'm a pastor, been in church my whole life. Like, you know, I've got all the punches on my punch card, you know, so to speak. And I can tell you definitively, there are a lot of mornings that I wake up and I don't feel like having my quiet time with the Lord. Not because I'm like mad at God or something. I just, I'm human. I'm tired. My one-year-old woke up 15 times, you know, that kind of stuff. And I don't feel like doing it, but the vast majority of the time I do it anyway. And guess what? As I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I did this, you know? So I would just want to encourage you guys with that, you know, don't worry about how you feel. God knows he's bigger than that, and just get started.
That's awesome. Well, again, hey, Eli, thank you.
Yes, and thank you, Eli.
And thank you guys for listening. If you have a question to send our way, please do that. AskLFC@lakeforest.org. We really actually are checking this and listening for you guys. So
you're keeping us honest. We love it. Yeah.
We appreciate it.
That's right.
Thank you guys so much. Scott, thanks for being on here with me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thank you, Harrison. I appreciate what you do and look forward to doing this again.
Let's go eat some shrimp. Yes, see you guys next time.